The opinions voiced on this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, or financial advisor prior to investing. Securities and investment advisory services are offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, a member of FINRA SIPC.
A quiet week in the markets until a bit of chaos ensued today. We're going to talk about that. It's What Really Matters with Peter McClellan and Jeff Hyback. We start now. And welcome to What Really Matters. And Jeff, you're joining us today. And of course, we're back to doing the podcast long distance. But boy, across the country, a lot of confusion, a lot of chaos today. Not an awful day by any stretch for the markets, but it did sell off. And a lot of stuff in the news, from GDP to Clinton emails, kind of concerning the market. And that's what the financial press is saying a little bit. And who knows? But what do you say, Jeff? Just recap a little bit. What happened today with the markets?
Yeah, goodness gracious. It's, you know, kind of the thing I said when I was at the seminars with you, and you and I have said on and off for quite some time, you know, regarding the market outlook and especially the economic outlook, because it does look like things are going to be a little bit more focused on the actual economic growth, because most people believe the Fed is on their way out. And so the two things I've said is, everything is looking okay, not spectacular, but also not horrible, so long as the Fed or the election doesn't screw things up.
Right.
And this morning, we saw a very interesting reaction to the GDP number, because it came in at plus 2.9%, and everybody said, oh my gosh, that's great. That's the best number we've seen in 2 years. Wow, this is fantastic. But then people started saying, oh, I wonder if this means the Fed might raise interest rates, because they consider now, they used to consider long-term trend growth 3.1%, but people have said now it's more between 2.2 and 2.5%. So people said that might mean they raise interest rates next week. Oh no, what are we going to do? And then I think they must have done what I did, which is actually look inside the numbers and realize that the way the government does GDP formulas and reports the growth, and this isn't any conspiracy theory. I've had debates already this morning on social media that, well, Obama's the one that ordered this number, and nothing's further from the truth. The Bureau of Labor Statistics is made up of 2,500 employees, and if it's like America, they're probably close to half Democrats and half Republicans, and so getting an executive order to cook the books would probably not go unreported.
That's true.
But the way they do it is not the way almost anybody would recommend as far as reporting financial data, economic data, or anything like that. So they essentially look at how well did the economy do the last 3 months. They divide that by the growth the prior 3 months. So in this case, the April through June quarter versus the September or the July through September quarter. And then they throw in some seasonal adjustment factors, because obviously growth in the spring will be a little bit different than there. So that's already throwing in some imperfections. And then they essentially take it times four. So they say, whatever you did the last 3 months, we're going to assume that continues for the next 9 months. Normally, if you're looking at to invest in a company, or if you're doing your own small business, you know, projections, you understand, okay, I'm going to have a different growth rate in the spring than I'm going to have during the summer. Some people have slower growth, some have other. So the way most people would do that is they would just take, how are we doing now versus how are we doing a year ago? That way you have every season included in the number, and then you could compare that. And so what we actually found was the growth that we saw over the last year was actually 1.5%. And so that's obviously not that great. It's a little bit better than the 1.3% that we saw in June. But 1.5% is a far cry from the 2.9% that everybody is celebrating. And so what we saw this morning then was, I think people realized you know, between that and the, you know, the fact 1.5% is no reason for the Fed to raise interest rates, as well as you looked at some things, there were some inventory buildups and things like that that quickly can go away, as well as a big boost in exports thanks to a weaker dollar, that could quickly reverse. So I think they started to believe that, okay, the Fed's not going to do anything next week when they meet to raise interest rates.
And of course, raising interest rates would be, you know, something the market would look, you know, kind of negatively on, right? It's kind of a hurdle of sorts.
Yeah. And it's interesting. And this is something you and I have said all along is, you know, it should scare you to death if you believe in fundamentals and you're a really long-term investor. The growth rate, if you look at the year-over-year growth rate, the fastest growth we saw was 3.3%, and that was in March 2015. Now, you look back and you realize the Fed ended quantitative easing at the end of 2014. So 3 months later, the economy peaked out and the growth rate has slowed ever since then. And one thing you and I have always said is if the economy, after all of this stimulus, cannot handle just the Fed going to the sidelines, never mind a 0.25% interest rate hike, if the economy can't handle that, how weak is the underlying economy?
Yeah, that's a frightening thought. How fragile are we, right?
Yeah. And so, you know, I saw one of the headlines just, and I'm by no means a Trump supporter or apologist or anything like that. I just want to tell people what really matters. But one of the headlines says GDP number throws wrench in Trump's economic attacks. And when you look at these numbers, this just gives us more ammunition. This entire Obama recovery has been the worst on record. And in fact, the last 2 years has been anemic growth rate. We haven't even been able to grow 2% over the last 2 years. So there's something wrong. And this isn't an attack on Obama, because the prior expansion under George Bush was the second worst now on record.
Right. So, right. And of course, Democrats are quick to point that out. So there's an element of truth in that. But really, the whole fundamental thing is it really about what the politicians have done or not done? I think they maybe have an impact, but realistically, it's been a lot of things like the debt and central bank policies around the globe that are kind of the tail wagging the dog at this point.
Oh, absolutely. We have things. And in fact, I've encouraged, I don't usually do this on social media, and maybe Jan is listening and she can get this on the 401k Latte Facebook page.
Okay, what's that?
But I typically don't put a blog out there and I say, please share this on your social media.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, I know it's not for everybody, but this is something that I think everybody has to understand. So, you know, Jan, if you're listening, that go to semtradersblog.com.
She will.
And the article is just called About That GDP Growth. And you know, one of the things that I point out in there is we've had essentially 8 years of Republican leadership, and we've had some crossover, some Democrats, some Republicans, and then we've had 8 years of Democratic leadership. And yet the last 16 years has been horrible in terms of economic growth if you compare it to our history. The 1990s grew at 3.2%, which happens to be our very long-term average growth rate for our economy. Something's changed. It's demographics. Like you said, it's the debt. It's the Fed policies. If we keep doing the same thing we're doing, we're just going to go right down the path of Europe, where we have 0.5% GDP growth. And then we start to have riots because there's threats of taking away pensions or Social Security or whatever it might be, because the whole structure will have to be redone. The longer we wait, the worse off we're going to be. And so at the bottom of that article, along with my links to share it on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook, are a couple of articles that drill really deep into why growth has been so slow. And I know it might be too late to change this election, but it's never too late to get educated on what's really driving our economy. And it's not the social agenda, you know, of gay rights and abortion, and, you know, it's not the welfare agenda either. We got to figure out what's wrong with our economy and truly work together, you know, combining both presidential candidates' policies. We need to get stronger together to make America great again. And the answer is probably somewhere between the two fringe candidates that we have to choose from.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and Not to be too cynical, but I chuckled in my mind. The other night, I couldn't stand. I was watching the news, and I just flipped the channels, and I thought, ugh. And it's like somebody had been telling me about this new Kiefer Sutherland show. It was Designated Survivor, where apparently he's the sole representative that was hidden away, and the Congress, the Senate, the President, the VP are all taken out in this explosion, and I'm thinking, maybe that'd be good. clean the slate.
Theoretically, it's one of those dark thoughts that then as a Christian you're like, oh my gosh, did I just think that?
Did I just think that? I know. I don't wish anybody death or harm or anything else, but I'm just. But the log jam, there is a log jam, and it's dysfunctional to the max.
It's one of the reasons I want a post like this one shared out there on social media.
Yeah,
is. It's, I see so much ideological, really just lies.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about that at the seminar. A lot of the things you see from the conservatives and the liberals aren't even true. And so our social media feed gets full of those things. Just like this podcast, just like, you know, my blog articles, it's what really matters. And what really matters is we got a broken system, and it's not going to be a Republican solution that fixes it or a Democratic solution. We've tried it and it hasn't worked. We got to come together and figure out, okay, why does this side believe the way they do? And why does the other side believe the way we do? And what can be done to somehow bridge that gap? And sitting there and insulting essentially half of America and telling them they're idiots, and I've heard it from both sides.
Oh, yeah.
And I get it from both sides because I'm an independent, and Republicans insult me for being a socialist, and Democrats insult me for being a right-wing nut job. So I get it. If you disagree with those people on the fringes, and they just result to insults.
Yeah,
and
it's true.
That's not the way we solve things.
No, it's not. It's not going to accomplish anything. It's sad. You know, I'm just struck with the idea that, a country of how many, 300 million people, these are the two best candidates we could come up with. Something is broken.
The one yard sign, the yard sign I saw said, Meteor 2016 just ended all.
Yeah, really. All right. Yeah, or none of the above. Oh, yeah. Anyway, so, well, it is, it's sad, but the election is coming up, and you see it as the potential. I mean, both candidates have the potential to cause at least some temporary waves. And I think you've also said, Jeff, and I'll just recap because you said it last week too, but that obviously if Hillary were to win, Hillary is what Wall Street would favor, status quo, which is common when you see an extension of an existing administration and Mr. Market, given a personality, just sort of yawns and says, well, we know the devil we have, so to speak. But you brought up the idea that if the Congress, the Senate, if there's a lot of seats lost and there's no system of checks and balances, neither party does well when that happens. That's dangerous, and that would scare the market, as rightfully it should. But if it is that just Hillary wins and Republicans don't give up much, then there's probably the status quo. It's going to be an extension of what Obama's been doing, really. Then we wouldn't necessarily see the market sell off in that scenario. Just talking from a standpoint of what the markets might do. But you see that if Trump were to win, surprisingly won, what that might do, or if Hillary wins and then they do, find her guilty of something that with the FBI, that's a bigger deal. And, I know people right now are saying, oh, it's just a right wing conspiracy. Trump's putting them up to this. I don't think so. I don't know enough about it, so I better not comment on that. But there's all these different scenarios. I guess what I'll throw out to you is this: given the scenario of Hillary winning and the Republicans not losing much in terms of their power in the Senate, what would you imagine, in the House and the Senate, what would you imagine the possibility of that is? What do you think? I mean, it just throw probability out there. I mean, I'm just curious to see what you think. That it would be just pretty much status quo. Hillary wins. She's basically Obama. And, things just continue the way they've been.
Yeah, I think, that's still the most likely case. It looks like more and more the Senate may go back to the Democrats, but as we've learned the last 20 years, it takes 60 votes in the Senate to get anything done. So that's something I don't think we have to worry about. I think the real unknown comes in just how many people that were not planning on voting show up and vote. You know, how many people from the middle class that feel completely ignored. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the comments I made to somebody of, I don't think people understand that, if you're middle class, if you make $50,000 household income, which is the median household income, you're too rich to qualify for almost any sort of aid. You don't get the subsidies for Obamacare. You don't get financial aid for college. I mean, unless and the Democrats call loans financial aid. I just call it burdening yourself and your kids with a lot of debt. You're too rich for that. But yet, you look at the cost of living and what's gone on, including healthcare and college education and just every life in general, you don't make enough to have a chance to have a better life. We deal with so many families that are right in that range, and they're like, we talked to them about investing, and they said, I'd just like to not be living paycheck to paycheck anymore. And so if enough of those people who have just felt so disenfranchised show up, they're really the ones that got behind Trump in the primaries. If they show up, it could be a Trump presidency. But I mean, this is truly an election where we just don't know. It's anybody's guess. There's so much anger out there. And then you throw in this story today with FBI. And, as I said before we went on the air, it's only in 2016 can something like this happen. It's almost like a TV show where the writers are going, how else can we throw people off?
Oh, man. Yeah. For the next episode, give them a twist to leave them thinking. Yeah.
Give a plot twist.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
So, and then, like I said, like we explained on the last podcast, the scenario if neither Trump or Clinton wins 270 electoral college votes is literally something we've never seen. And goodness gracious. And that's what happened with the market was when the FBI report came out. It's the reaction from the two candidates was almost comical of, Trump was just almost going into a speech when it happened. And then, of course, he had the chance of lock her up. And then Clinton apparently didn't have Wi-Fi on her plane, which I find interesting in this day and age. Maybe she's not flying Delta. But she gave a speech shortly thereafter and mentioned nothing about it. And she just, encouraged all the women and young people and minorities to stand up and vote because Donald Trump hates them. I mean, if that's how you win the presidency, what kind of president are we going to have?
I know.
When you insult 50% of Americans,
it's how they've gotten there. I mean, it's how Trump beat all the other Republican candidates out.
And again, not apologizing for Trump, but I think that this is something that people are missing out on is the reason Trump won the Republican primary was he was the only candidate where people really felt like he would listen more to the middle class and not to Wall Street. Yeah. Because that's been the real issue is Wall Street has run both the Republican and the Democratic Party. You look at all the policies that they've done the last 16 years, and they've all been pro-Wall Street, whether it's Democrats or Republicans. And the trickle-down theory just stopped working because, again, another Republican and Democrat idea back in the late 90s was to repeal Glass-Steagall, which let Wall Street banks do more than just be banks and, their insurance companies and their investment firms. And so they don't have to make loans with the money they take in. And it hasn't worked to trickle down. So that's where that family in the middle class just feels left out on both sides. And they supported Trump because, as I've said since he started running, he's the burn it all down candidate. So that's possibly good for the middle class. We honestly don't know.
No.
It's truly the only solution for those middle class voters is to get somebody who will come in and his new contract with America that he gave at Gettysburg last weekend was really speaking to those middle class voters who are just so disenfranchised. So again, if they show up at the polls, we could see Trump shock everybody.
Yeah, we don't know though, right? I mean, it still looks like Hillary's ahead, and so we don't know. It's impossible to say, but as far as the markets go, You spelled out a couple of different scenarios that could take place, that could rock people's accounts. And, reality is the economy, even though, and let's put this in perspective, even though Hillary doesn't now have fodder to beat Trump over the head with great GDP numbers. That's malarkey. But by the same token, we're not heading into a recession anytime soon. The economy is chugging along, albeit not on all cylinders, the most tepid recovery on record. But even at that, at some point, we're almost 8 years into a bull run in the market, and that can't go on forever. And so people have to ask themselves, what does it mean when all of this does adjust at some point? And at some point it's going to. It might be soon. It might not be for a couple of years yet. Who knows? No one knows. No, it's going to happen. We just know that given the law of averages, we don't see the market continue to escalate as it has with numbers that are, beyond the pale, so to speak. Or as Jeff was saying in our seminar, two standard deviations, which to most people means nothing, but it just means it's out of whack. It's overvalued. Yep. It's not likely to stay at these levels. And there will be a painful adjustment downward at some point. And it's going to surprise a lot of people. Jeff's been writing about that too. And that, the longer this thing goes, the more likely it is going to be very painful when it does pop. And you got to be mindful of that, And if you're taking on now at this late stage more risk than what you were taking on, is that the best thing to do? You might consider doing something, but maybe does it have any kind of breaks associated with it that could help mitigate loss? If it doesn't, you really need to check out the merits of active money management. And can't get into it now, but there's a lot of good things that can be very defensive. There's things that can be somewhat defensive and help minimize some of the impact of a big, big drop. So worthwhile to think about, because you don't get to retire, if you're retiring in 2 years, you can't put it off 25, and if you do, then you'll you'll die at your desk. You don't want to do that. Life's too short. So with that, I'll remind people, contact the 401k Latte if you're here in Minnesota. We're in Lakeville, and certainly go to our website and give us a call. And also Jeff's blog, semtradersblog.com. Check out the blog. There's lots of good information. He puts some phenomenal stuff up there. Charts of the week that are just tremendously insightful. Admittedly, sometimes some of it's a little bit difficult to grasp at first, but you look at it for a few minutes, you get the gist of what it's saying. It's good, insightful stuff. It's not political. It is. It's just not. It's not. It's reality. So on that note, Jeff, we'll say to people that there's a tagline that we have at the 401k Latte Company, and it's...
Invest in a conversation.
Yeah. Do it, sir.
You've been listening to What Really Matters with Peter McClellan, a chartered financial consultant with the 401k Latte Company in Lakeville, Minnesota. For a no-cost consultation or second opinion of financial issues, call us at 952-882-0400. That's 952-882-0400. Or visit us online at 401klatte.com. That's 401klatte.com. We want to remind you to invest in a conversation.